In the time we have remaining, we have so many reader questions, so I'm going to try to get to as many as we can. A reader named JohnFranco888 wants to know, Chad from the Chili Peppers is doing his group Chickenfoot. Would you ever consider doing a quote-unquote supergroup of this nature?
No. I like making music by myself. I wouldn't play if I played with... First of all, I've never heard of Chickenfoot, and I didn't even know Chad was doing that, so I don't know who that is or why he's doing it. I'm not comparing myself to him. I'm just saying that for me, if I play with people, it's 100% because of the musical relationship, and I have no interest in sort of... I don't want to sound like I'm comparing myself to him because I don't know what he's doing. It's just I wouldn't play with people because they were like also stars and we would go up on stage and be stars together or something. You know, it's just that's not me. You know, and I usually find that I don't relate to people who think that way because it's less about music and it's more about who they are or something. And I'm really like. I think kind of in general the personality has been overemphasized and music has been underemphasized, and it's definitely my intent to do everything that I can for the rest of my life just to think of music as a living being and to think what I can do for music and not to think what music can do for me, you know. And I hope that in my own small way that I can spread that philosophy around a little bit because I really think too much emphasis has been placed on the star, and I think music is very complete without all the crap that goes along with like fame and ego and all that stuff, you know, photos and videos and all that stuff. I just think music is sufficient unto itself, and nothing could be more complete, and all those things have just been invented to sell it by business people, you know, and I just don't think that music needs it, you know, and I think that in a lot of ways people experiment less when they have their fame to protect or their income to protect or their way of life to protect, you know, and so much emphasis ends up, and I feel like they do less experimentation with music when you're thinking that way. I know I did, you know. I'm 100% about just thinking in terms of what can be done with what new approaches can be taken to making music and where are some possibilities that people haven't explored yet, you know, not like, what can I do that'll knock people's socks off, you know what I mean? It's like, that's just where I'm at, you know. It's like, I mean, I love Blind Faith. There's definitely super groups that I think are awesome, you know, but at this point in time, I think it's just necessary to really emphasize where the possibilities are in music and not anything about, like, this band will be huge.
Yeah. A reader named Telefaster wants to know, when you pick up the guitar, do you ever have times when nothing seems to be coming out right? If so, what do you do?
That doesn't really happen to me because I kind of care more about studying music and exploring possibilities than I do about doing anything right. If there's not an idea there when I pick up a guitar, I'm just going to be learning stuff off records or studying a chord book or, you know, or learning a classical piece out of a book or, you know, mostly since I was 12, I just learned stuff off records, and I don't put that pressure on my relationship to the instrument to walk over to it and to figure I'm going to play something brilliant, you know. I practice so much and listen so much that eventually somebody like does something on a record that strikes you or you realize some sort of combination of intervals or some certain kind of rhythmic phrase like strikes a chord in you, ideas come forth from there. You know, it's the whole principle of the way they put music together in hip hop and stuff. You just take little pieces from different things and put them in a new context and reorganize them and bend them and, you know, slice them up and then there's your ideas, you know. I think that kind of stuff only happens when people like have too much of a emphasis in their approach to wanting a result.
Right.
You know, having those kind of goals and those kind of that result-oriented thinking is real limiting to what you can do and real limiting on how much fun you can have when you're doing it. You know, it's important to remember that there's an endless supply of creativity available in the universe. That creative force that all music has come from is plentiful, and it's never going to run out. And as long as you don't psych yourself out by putting pressure on yourself and by judging everything that you do, if you just listen to music and explore the possibilities of your instrument, it's just always going to be there. You don't have to worry about it, you know. It only happens when you make too much of a agenda of trying to do something that's going to blow people away or something. Like if you just remember that you're just always just going to be an unimportant person, no matter how much people may tell you that you're important. It's never the person that's important, and nobody should be intimidated by stars like Jimi Hendrix or Eddie Van Halen or whoever. It's just like those people, they're all just little guys who love music, you know, and what they do has been great only in as much as they love music and in as much as they practice their instrument a lot and gave a lot of love to it, you know.
Like, yeah.
As long as you do that stuff, you don't need to worry about the result, you know. You'll get there when you're meant to, and you'll come up with things when you're meant to, and you'll have a good time the whole time as long as you're studying all the brilliant stuff. We're so lucky we have CDs and records to study, and it's an opportunity to think the way somebody else was thinking. When you play along with something, you're actually like almost like experiencing the same moment that they experienced.
Sure.
And feeling what they felt and doing what they're doing. It's like a mirror through it's like a mirror through like 40 years of time or whatever. If you learned something that happened 40 years ago, you know, it was a little moment in the studio, and then you're recreating that moment with your instrument because you play the same instrument as them. It's amazing, you know. It's all like an incredible gift, and nobody should put that burden on music to feed their ego in the way that they want it, when they expect that everything that comes out of them should be something like fantastic, you know.
A reader by the name of Porcelain says, "I've been playing the guitar for a long time. I admire your style. I want to know, in your opinion, is theory necessary to play the guitar, or is playing guitar emotionally enough?"
I definitely think it's enough to just use your emotions. I think a lot of brilliant music's been made like that. It just depends on what you want to do, you know. It's like, I don't think somebody should learn theory just because I say it's a good idea, but for me, it's been a really good idea, and it just gives me more insight into the music that I learn. And I don't think of each note and each relationship in a given piece of music as just being something that came out of thin air, which I think is, it might seem magical when you're a kid to, you know, I remember how it sounded when I used to listen to Kiss when I was a kid, and to me it just sounded like it all came out of thin air. I had no idea how any of it was being done or what the tonal or rhythmic relationships were, you know. It just all sounded like it came out of thin air, and that was a nice feeling. But I think if I would have remained seeing it that way, I think a lot of people, even when they learn stuff, when their brain doesn't find some way of finding a mental symbol that equals the intervallic relationship and the rhythmic relationships, I think that tendency to think of it as all just coming out of thin air and all as being kind of unrelated, I think that can be limiting. And I think if a person's going to be really good at it, like Jimi Hendrix was, or Johnny Marr is, or, you know, the guys in Fugazi are, it's like you in some way you find a mental symbol. It might not, it's one of those mental pictures, like if I try to picture the feeling of metal in my mind, or the feeling of a certain type of wood in my mind, there's a mental symbol for it. I don't actually see the feeling. It's the sense of touch isn't something that you can see in most cases, but there is a symbol of it in my head, and I think that that's the kind of thing a person has to develop, and it just takes a lot of practicing and a lot of thinking about music and a lot of giving love to music. I think music's always there for anybody who puts in the time and the work, and I think there's many paths to get to very similar places. But I really love learning theory because I can hear, if you put on a song, I immediately recognize the intervallic relationships to where I've learned it already without even picking up my guitar. And, yeah, well, you know, it's possible that somebody can do that without knowing those things, but it's all just so clear to me, you know? It's
right.
Like, I'm really grateful for that, and I don't think it would be as sharp of a sense as it is without knowing those things, you know. And I think it's only been a recent phenomenon in a lot of ways amongst people who really work hard at music that they've gone so far with it without learning things, because there was a time where if you really wanted to do something big, other than like folk music or something, you had to learn how to read, and you had to learn how to write music, and you had to, you know, learn harmony and learn how to orchestrate it. And those things didn't limit, you know, people like Beethoven and Mozart and Stravinsky, and they only help, like I said. But like I said, you do have to go through a period of strain for a while, and to really get the ideas digested, you might have to put your creativity on the side for a little while, you know. And if you're not willing to do that, then it's not a good idea to learn it. But if you're 15 years old or 16 years old or 17 years old, there's just no reason not to learn that stuff, because yeah, you might have a couple of years of not being as creative as you were before, but how much you're able to do with it once the ideas are digested and then it's not a strain to think about them anymore, you know, it's wonderful.
Our reader by the name of Cradle88 says, "You seem to love all kinds of music, funk, dance, hip-hop, etc. Is there any particular kind of genre that you've never warmed up to?"
Well, I don't really think of music in genres, like, but I like it when they, like, play off of each other, and I really hear the spirit of music more than, like, the formulas that connect one, you know, two people of the same style. Mainly, I just don't like it when it sounds to me like music is being made in order to impress people, or in order to, like, please business people, or in order to, like, please the masses or whatever. It doesn't sound good to me when it sounds like it was more important to somebody to do something that was going to make them famous or make them loved by people than that they were doing something that where there was just a harmonious relationship between them and the creative force of music, you know. And that's a real apparent thing to me when it sounds like somebody's making music for the wrong reasons. I hear it right away. I think this is another thing that, besides the personality, that too much emphasis is placed on is the style of music that somebody's doing, or the way they dress, or the radio station they would be played on, or the section they're in the record store. Like, to me, the real important element of music is the energy behind it. And a sensitive person who loves music can feel that. And, you know, you just know the difference when you hear a band at a point in their career where they were doing it for the right reasons, and at the point in their career where they were doing it for the wrong reasons. It's plainly apparent, you know. And
yeah,
That's the style of music I don't like, is when I just feel like somebody's doing something just because they're getting paid a lot to make that record or whatever, or because they think it's going to make everybody love them.
But I guess what this person is asking is, back in the day when there was Tower Records, say, would you walk in and not go to a certain section because, like, oh, I'm just not into that kind of music?
Well, I go through phases of things. Like, no, I'm real open-minded about music, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I like all types of music, and like I said, I just don't divide it up in my head that way. I like all kinds of things that would, you know, like, there's very few of my friends who would like it. I don't think there's any of my friends who would like everything that I like. I've just always been like that. I love a huge variety of things, you know.
A reader by the name of Vivi says, 4 years ago, you said that your lyrics were a big joke. Do you still feel the same way?
I think that's being taken out of context. I like to play games with my lyrics and make things that are sort of amusing to me.
Mm-hmm.
To offset ideas with other ideas in ways that you never would in normal everyday speech, you know. Ever since I started really having fun writing lyrics, it's always been in a way to sort of put ideas together that seem contrary to one another, or to do things with words, like I said, that would be ways that you'd never be able to put them together in everyday speech, but somehow the ideas are informed by the quality of the music that they're joined with. And just like in poetry, where the meter sort of gives a meaning to the words, I think it happens in an even more powerful way when you're writing lyrics, you know. And I think you should always be having fun when you're doing things. So it's like, they're not ideas that make me laugh or that I think are silly or something.
Mm-hmm.
They're just ideas that I find amusing and that trigger some sort of an echo in my head that makes me feel good, you know.
Dalgard asks, how much do you play in a particular day? Do you have any kind of set process for your playing?
You know, it's always different. I mean, sometimes I'll spend a lot of time with another instrument besides the guitar, and that'll have just as dramatic of an effect on my guitar as if I was playing guitar. I remember the time we were doing that By the Way album, I was playing piano a lot, and it really helped the way that I saw chords on the neck of the guitar, just because chords make more sense on the piano and you can get a bigger picture of them than guitar, and then you can push yourself with doing certain types of stretches to incorporate the same types of intervals that are really easy to grab on the piano. You can apply those to the guitar, you know. It's always different, but it's, I think about, and also sometimes it's just as good to be thinking about music as to be actually doing it, you know. Sometimes just sitting there listening to music a lot, you can learn just as much from as playing. But when I was a kid, I used to practice somewhere between like 8 and 15 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really any different now, you know, whether it's on one instrument or the other, or whether it's mixing, or whether it's like messing around with a synth or something, I'm doing music all day long every day. And in the Chili Peppers, I was always just, it would be an all-day thing for me, you know. It would be like waking up. If we were writing a record, just wake up, you know, practice, go to rehearsal, play for 4 hours, come back, eat dinner, play all night, listen to records. It's just, it's all I do. I'm not really too interested in anything else.
I did an interview recently with Chad Smith, who basically said that there was about a year or so before the Chili Peppers were going to be active again. Is that basically the plan?
No, there's no plan.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no plan.
So you guys haven't...
You're going to have to stop the tape recorder.
Okay.
Or you can leave it on, and I can just say the official news is just that there is no plans to do anything, and we were on a hiatus of indefinite length.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's just absolutely no plans to do anything, and that's it. Yeah, we worked really hard for 10 years, and, you know, there's other things in life.
Well, I think your new record is fantastic. It's really a great experience.
Cool, man. Thanks so much for your support.
Absolutely. This is Joe Basso with Music Radar, the place for music makers, and I've been speaking with John Frusciante. John, thank you very much for spending all the time with me here.
Cool, man.
Alrighty. You take care.
Cool. Yeah, have a good night.